You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Screen Heroes. I am Derek. I am one of your regular hosts. I have Ray with me.
What's up, dudes?
And we don't have Ryan. Ryan is not with us today. Instead, we've brought in someone from one of our sibling shows, Gamer Heroes, Cam.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. I am not one of the regular hosts.
Not of this show.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But on the Heroes Podcast Network, you lead Gamer Heroes with Thomas and Challenge Mode.
Yes.
Do you want to maybe introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Internet? I'm Cam. If you listen to my other show, that's pretty cool. Just joined on a little bit earlier this year. Run Gamer Heroes, which is a show where more of like a topical gaming news show, because, you know, there aren't enough of those on the internet. But we try to have like a more of a positive kind of spin on things, because there's just too much negativity out there. And we also do Challenge Mode, which is a show where we kind of do a less topical, just kind of deep dive into like the gaming topics that we're super passionate about. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I used to host Gamer Heroes, and so I listen to it in the car now, and I find myself wanting to respond to things you guys say.
You can always tweet them.
You could.
By the time I get to my desk at work, I've forgotten what it was, you know?
Tweet while it's driving.
Yeah, that's safe.
That's very safe.
That's never highly recommend been that.
Don't
a problem.
Tweet at home, kids.
Don't tweet at home. Tweet while driving.
All right. So anyway, so today we're going to be talking about Detective Pikachu, or Pokemon Detective Pikachu, whatever the real title is.
Sure, yeah.
Before that, though, we have our new segment.
As always. Yeah. So crossover content. Mortal Kombat movie coming out soon. Production starts next year. James Wan is producing, possibly directing, definitely producing.
He's not directing. It's a new director who's never directed anything before.
Oh, this is great. This is great.
The article I read. Now, I will be totally fair. I did not look up the dude on IMDb. So if he has directed stuff and the article I read was incorrect, I apologize. But yeah, he's new. He's new.
Cool.
So
cool. That's going to be awesome.
I mean, it could be. Like, everyone starts somewhere, you know.
Not usually with big budget flicks.
We don't know the budget yet. So.
Oh, my God.
Just to be fair. We also don't know if this is a reboot, a sequel, or whatever. It's probably a reboot.
But... I mean, I feel like you have to almost try to do... You have to almost not try to do better than the second Mortal Kombat movie.
Annihilation?
Yeah. Man... Like, I love that first one because it's just real campy and real stupid, like Mortal Kombat kind of should be. And
those
that second
are $500
one,
sunglasses, yeah. You dick.
I'm more of a Street Fighter fan, personally.
That movie's no better.
No.
Sadly, it was Raul Julia's really last role.
How sad is that? Like, he had a great career.
And that's how you go out.
Yeah.
But that the Street Fighter movie did give us Street Fighter the movie, the game, which is a real thing. Look it up. It exists. And it's basically a Street Fighter game done in the Mortal Kombat style.
And in all fairness, Ming-Na cool. Wen has only upgraded. She went from Chun-Li to Mulan to now Agent May on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So she's only upgraded.
That's fair.
It worked out for her.
So it didn't kill everybody's career.
She's doing all right for
herself. Kylie Minogue was a pop singer after this and probably during too. So like not everybody was hurt by Street Fighter. Everybody was hurt by Mortal Kombat, including
you're not
me.
You're not wrong.
I was hurt by Mortal Kombat.
I mean, I love that first movie. I recognize that it's just garbage,
it's so
much fun. It is so much fun.
Did you ever watch the TV show or the little web series?
No.
Oh my gosh.
With Jerry Ryan?
Go do it.
I absolutely will check that out.
Yeah.
I have to make my Star Trek connection.
Yeah, of course. What did she do?
She played Seven of Nine.
Yeah, that's right.
On Star Trek.
You didn't actually make your Star Trek connection. That's what I was...
Fair enough.
Okay. So, we fan cast a Mortal Kombat movie.
Oh, we did.
Like, our first season, first year.
I'm going to find it.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
Okay.
I'm really interested in knowing what that is.
Is there anybody you'd like to see portray somebody?
I don't know. I feel like that's something that I would just like take a look at someone and be like, yeah, no, I would definitely want you to play this person.
Yeah.
But, like, now I'm on the spot and I just can't.
No, you're good. like off the top of my head, I've totally changed my mind since 2015 when we started. Right. But I want Terry Crews to be Jax.
Okay, no, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I want Zoe Saldana to be Jade.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Jimmy Chan could do Katana.
Yeah, all right.
Let's see.
So, for reference, it was episode 45 back in November of 2016.
So long ago. So, we were wee beebs.
Yeah. We had John on, who was my co-host on Gamer Heroes. Oh, okay. Which was, so that was a crossover
full
episode
circle.
Then,
full
too.
Circle.
So. We'll just have to have both of you on when we
Great.
Review the movie.
Perfect.
After that comes out.
Awesome. I love that. That's perfect.
Right?
Yeah. Ryan's not allowed to come to that one either.
So speaking of like reboot sequel type things, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is getting what they're calling a legacy sequel, which means that it's a continuation of the original two movies. But it's not going to have Rick Moranis in it as far as we know. So Josh Gad will be playing the son of Rick Moranis' character. The character names escape me. I haven't watched those movies in quite some time. But I love Josh Gad, so...
Yeah. So if you guys didn't know, Rick Moranis retired from acting when his wife died from cancer. I believe it was breast cancer. And it was the early 2000s or late 90s. And he just chose to be part of his family instead of work as an actor and deal with the grief, which I can totally respect. Since then, he's come out for a few charity events as well as a con here and there. He's not really on the convention circuit, but he's done a documentary here and there too. So it's maybe he does something once a year, but he still likes to be with his family. And if anybody could convince him to do a cameo, it'd probably be Disney as opposed to, you know, Ghostbusters or something.
That's fair.
But in all honesty, a Josh Gad can hold a film. He's like Disney's golden boy right now. Like, he and Alan Tudyk are in everything they produce at this point. And I'm okay with that. But, I mean, there was something magical about that first Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. So much so that it created, like, a temporary amusement park at Disney World. And
I mean, they still had that area in 2012 when I was there last.
Yeah. So it's a big deal. Even though the movie hasn't, like, it's not really talked about nowadays.
I don't think anybody remembers that's what that's from. It's just, oh, giant ants. And, you know, I can sit on, like, a giant slice of tomato.
Did that cookie look like the best cookie you've ever fucking seen in that movie or what?
With like the whipped cream stuff
or
whatever?
Yeah, the giant cookie where they see it and they just all go nuts, like, because they're so hungry, they're dying.
I'm gonna go ahead and air my shame here. I've actually never seen that movie.
Oh, okay.
It's lovely. You really should. So
it's a great kids movie.
I
will probably check that out. I've heard from people who have really recommended it to me that it's just pretty magical.
Avoid the sequels. They're really not that special. They're stereotypical 90s sequels.
Okay, great.
Well, and if you have like a small child in your life, having them watch it with you will bring that like childlike wonder back. But if not, yes, it's a fun movie.
I'm internally like a small child.
Oh, there
so
you go.
I'll probably just enjoy it.
Look, people give Ant-Man a lot of credit for making us feel emotions for Antony, right, in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids did it first.
Yes.
I just want to throw that out.
Very easily.
Gotta respect the roots.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, the sequel is Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
And then there's Honey, I Shrunk Ourselves.
Right. Now, he didn't actually explode a child. He grew, the child grew into a
giant. That's murder. That's a crime.
It took a dark turn. but yeah, and then, yeah, Honey, I Shrunk we Shrunk Ourselves.
That one wasn't so bad.
I actually really like that one.
Yeah.
It's the middle one that's not so good. So
it's awful.
I guess we don't know if this new one's going to ignore 2 and 3 or not. Like, they've started, like, the new Terminator movie is ignoring 3 and later.
I do hate when they do that. Like, you don't have to necessarily mention everything from the first few movies anyway. It's gonna be the same plot line, I guess, same precedent, like
premise.
Thank you. That's a thing. they're going to shrink themselves, right? Like, that's what's going to happen.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, come on. I haven't seen this movie. Come on.
I will say that
I'm right here.
The shrink ray that he builds is one of my favorite pieces of movie technology and just reminds me so much of the laser in Tron that sucks him into the grid. It's very reminiscent of that. Yeah.
I'm into that.
All right, so what else we have? We have Disney. So we have more Disney news then, I guess.
Of course.
So Comcast has essentially handed the keys to Hulu completely over to Disney. Disney has not purchased anything additional as of today. I'm sure they will. It's just a matter of time.
Sure, they're Disney.
But yeah. You know. But they have full control over Hulu at this point from a power standpoint, which just kind of continues to fuel the theories that people have had, including us on the show here, that that will be Disney's home for anything that is above the PG-13 rating or anything that's not suitable for young children that they wouldn't want to slap Disney on. So, you know, the Netflix Defenders shows, perhaps something of like that.
The problem is with this, I imagine we're going to see some shows canceled. Like right now, Harlots and Handmaid's Tale don't even fit like the gritty Disney brand. So I imagine we're going to see some good shows go off. And this is a problem for me because even though I'm a huge Disney fan, like we're even having a Disney wedding, I'm not too much of a fan of when one company has like all control. You know, like we see such great new content from new people all the time, and less voices equals less good stuff in the world. So I'm not too happy about this.
Yeah, I kind of completely agree with you. I think that some of the stuff that Disney's doing is pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
I took a look at like all the announcements I did for their Disney Plus stuff, and I'm like, this is an absolutely absurd amount of value for what you're paying. But also, it's also really scary that all of that is just under one big umbrella, and it's just like kind of just got that big corporate grip on it.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of that, personally.
I mean, it's from a movie perspective, it's bad news for theater chains.
Sure.
Because, you know, Disney has already bullied other movies out of certain types of screens and stuff in the past. A big example is Quentin Tarantino's Hateful Eight, which had a 70mm version you could watch, which is kind of rare these days. Mm-hmm. And Disney was trying to monopolize some of the California theaters that could support that type of technology. You know, or when the live action Tarzan remake came out a few years ago, they basically bought every IMAX in the country for 4 weeks. You know, so other movies like Star Trek Beyond could not release in IMAX because there were no IMAX screens in the country. You know,
Disney didn't make the live action Tarzan. I think we're talking about somebody else, but Disney didn't do that.
Okay. That type of monopolization is what my concern is. And Disney is only growing larger and they're only going to have more influence.
Absolutely.
So
it's bad all around.
Like the memes going around where you see like Mickey Mouse wearing the Infinity Gauntlet is becoming too fucking real.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you guys on that one. We've talked about that before on the show. And I know a lot of people are very happy that the X-Men are back with the rest of the Avengers as far as an ownership perspective. But that is small potatoes compared to the rest of that industry.
Yeah, it already has lost
I'm excited.
About 10,000 jobs.
Yeah, so. And I'm excited to see like The Simpsons like all in one super easily accessible place. But it's not really worth it compared to all the bad shit happening, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll have to wait and see about that. I'm sure Disney will purchase the rest relatively soon. The rumors around the deal are that NBC basically has to offer up the shares at fair market value, which is kind of interesting. So I'll be curious to see if today's announcements inflates those values or not.
I need to look at who still owns it because when it was first started, Hulu was owned by WB, Apple, Comcast, and Disney. And now that is obviously not the case. I imagine Comcast had majority control up until, you know, today. So,
yeah, I'm not sure if they had majority control or if it was a shared control. Because I think Disney was, I think Comcast owns 30% of the shares.
Hmm.
So they don't have a controlling share, but enough to have a voice, a good size.
Oh, voice. I mean, if the original was 4, that's the majority, is 30%.
Right. Yeah. there's not four anymore.
No.
So, all right. So the other kind of piece of, I guess, what's Disney news now is that there are rumors of our new Wolverine being Henry Cavill. These are probably completely unfounded, by the way, but I just wanted to throw that out
there. I feel
there.
Like that's completely started by like Reddit fans. They are just like, oh, how funny would it be if the MCU was really spiteful and hired Henry Cavill? And first of all, I completely agree. I love Henry Cavill as a superhero, and I think he needs to continue. Wolverine is not the role for him, in my opinion. Yeah. I think if they really wanted to be spiteful, they would do Sentry, because Sentry is essentially Superman, only he like is completely destructive and horrible. But Hercules would probably be way more fun.
I don't think it's a spite thing. We've had a lot of actors go back and forth between DC and Marvel as of late. And I don't think that's uncommon. I don't think it's weird. I don't even think it's really necessarily on purpose other than recognizing.
No, I think fans are spiteful. Fans I don't really spiteful. Think that yeah. MCU and DC are spiteful.
Right. Now, I do believe that Warner Brothers hiring James Gunn to do Suicide Squad after Disney fired him, that was very
that
much
was,
on purpose.
That was a power move. I've seen one. Right? I read that headline. I'm like, oh, damn. All right. You guys doing this. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't think anybody really cares too much about that.
Right.
So. Sure.
But anyway, all right. So any other news before we take our break?
Nope. No. So I'm going to ask you guys, and you can think on it.
Oh,
and
boy.
We can talk about it at the end. What is your favorite starter Pokemon? Out of all 7, 8 gens, I don't really know where we're at now.
Pretty sure it's 8.
8's the newest one that got announced. So.
But we haven't played those yet. So, okay.
Starters are out, though.
Right. Okay. So 7 gens that have been playable. Who has been your favorite starter? We'll answer that at the very end of the podcast.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, so we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be talking about Detective Pikachu. We will start with some spoiler-free thoughts and box office before we jump into spoilers. If you haven't seen it, we'll be right back.
The Heroes Podcast Network is expanding with a brand new show, Kaiju Curry House. Three guys from the UK will be bringing you a fortnightly show premiering on the 9th of April 2019. Our show will be discussing everything relating to kaiju, our childhood memories of discovering kaiju, our hopes of upcoming kaiju movies, where to get merchandise, lesser known kaiju movies, games that star giant monsters, comics, books, TV shows, art. Did I miss anything? So, we invite you to listen to our ramblings, embrace your love of kaiju, and be part of the show. Drop us a line on Twitter @UKKaiju and support us at patreon.com/heroespodcasts.
All right, we're back. So we are here to talk Detective Pikachu.
Woo!
Because I'm kind of running things tonight, I'll also do the box office stuff, keep things simple. So
you do the box office anyway.
You did it last time.
I didn't do it.
No. You did not. That's true.
I did not. I wasn't here.
Yeah. So shocking literally everyone on the planet, Endgame won the weekend's box office.
I know no one guessed.
We were all wrong. It wasn't
3 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, 3 weeks in a row. It's continuing to have a nearly 60% drop, which is pretty good considering how many people saw it to begin with. So next weekend, it probably will not win because you've got a couple heavy hitters like John Wick. For example, has been very anticipated. The weekend after that, you get Aladdin. And so I think Endgame's run at the top is probably done at this point. But it won the weekend with 63.3 million domestically. And then Detective Pikachu comes in at second with 54.37, which is revised down. Earlier in the week, they were reporting 58 million, but that is not the case. But it's doing well, you know. Took second place at the box office domestically, but internationally it made even more money. So it's over 170 if you take in the international box office at about a 66% split. $150 million budget, which is actually a good chunk of change when you put it in perspective of Shazam got 90, Captain Marvel got 100, and Hellboy got 50, if I remember correctly.
All right, then.
So Aquaman got 165. As did Suicide Squad.
Okay.
So just some perspective there. So 150 is a pretty good size budget. There's a ton of CGI in this movie.
Yeah. Oh,
it's basically a CGI movie.
Right.
Honestly.
So what we like to do is kind of go around and say some just spoiler free impressions before we jump into that to give people kind of a warning. So Cam, since you're new, I'll let Ray go first and cool. then you can kind of follow her lead.
Appreciate that.
So I totally thought it was really cute, and it was everything I really wanted out of the movie, which is all I can really ask for. Wasn't anything completely, you know, mind-blowing as far as story goes, but I was so impressed with the way all the Pokemon were rendered. I thought they looked so amazing, and it was great to also put some, like, real-life textures to Pokemon. Mm. I wasn't quite sure about some. So, yes, definitely a cute film. I would own it. I would watch it again. I really enjoyed it.
Cam?
Yeah, kind of along those same lines, I enjoyed the absolute crap out of this movie. I knew going in I was going to love it because I've just been like a just ridiculous diehard Pokemon fan since basically day one of like owning a Game Boy.
Sure.
And whenever they announced this movie, I was like, oh man, like that 3DS game that didn't sell very well and people didn't seem too hot on. But then I saw the first trailer and I was just completely in. Like, the movie is just absolutely magical. Like, it's absolutely mm-hmm. not perfect. Like, there's definitely inconsistencies and a bunch of other issues everywhere. But I think it really captures the magic of being in a world filled with Pokemon. And like, it goes for more of a feeling type thing than having just this like airtight plot, which I really appreciated. I remembered leaving the theater and just feeling really, really bummed out that I couldn't just see a little bit more of that world and just not be as like immersed in it as I was through the entire movie, which I really appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good points. It was definitely fun. I had a similar thought when they announced it. I was like, that's the Pokemon movie you're going to make?
You're banking on this one. All right.
And then they announced, of course, that Ryan Reynolds was going to voice Pikachu. I'm like, oh, so this is a joke. Okay. I was wrong. Seeing it kind of, quote, real was pretty cool, right? Because, you know, I started with the original first-gen Pokemon games on a fat Game Boy, and those graphics are not great. And the idea that these have now become realized three-dimensional full-color creatures is really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've not continued with Pokemon as much, so the later generations kind of fall off with me a little bit more with each one. But I was really able to enjoy this one because I still recognize pretty much every Pokemon that showed up. If I didn't know its name, I recognized it.
Sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just super cool. So it was a lot of fun. I think this can be our spoiler warning though, so we can start talking about
details.
So if you haven't seen Detective Pikachu yet, pause this if you care about spoilers. If not, keep on listening. So one small note I just want to get out of the way is I love that it's a sequel to the Pokemon the movie from 2000. I thought that was super cool.
Yeah. Like how there were just callbacks to like, oh, this totally happened. Like, oh my God. I'm like, they like really thought a lot of this stuff through way more than I feel like anyone was expecting them to.
I was not expecting it to be within like anime canon, which really worked for it. You know, like that was pretty unexpected. And that is why I think it's the number one video game movie. Like, it's a video game movie that's good. I think it's because it also has the anime to fall back on. Good stories in this world were already created. Sure, yeah. So
it's such a fleshed out universe. Mm-hmm. I mean, most video game movies are based on something very action oriented, Tomb Raider, Resident Evil, you know. And this is just, there's so many characters, so much story. Like, there's 800 some Pokemon now.
Yeah.
You know, to not be able to come up with something would almost be on purpose,
right?
You know, but I love that they did that. Like, they straight up keep it in line with the original movie, which I mean, I remember seeing it. I remember getting the Mew card that they gave out at the theater and everything like that, which, by the way, small news thing is they're reissuing it for the new one that comes out later this year or next year.
That's amazing.
There's a new Pokemon movie coming out.
I didn't know that, and you just made my day.
Yeah,
so I just want you to know that.
I believe it's Mewtwo Returns.
Yeah, it's like a CG remake of the first movie.
So, like, I guess I gotta rewatch the original.
It looks weird.
It does.
Yeah, it looks really just off, but I'll probably see it.
Now, when this movie was originally announced, there were all these rumors that they were gonna be doing like a straight up live action adaptation of the original cartoon with Ash and Misty. Mm-hmm. And I think we now know why, and it's because the buddy Pokemon are the same. It's Psyduck and Pikachu, and people just leaped and assumed they meant Ash and Misty. Sure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I totally understand why.
Does people that make you that. A little upset that there wasn't an Onix?
Not really, because I mean,
that was a joke.
I feel like it would have been on purpose. That would have been a little forced, you know. That's what I was gonna say, but I mean, it's kind of a bummer that we only get to see one at all, though, because that's a big freaking Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, he's fucking massive.
That is probably my number one issue with the whole thing, is that I couldn't see more Pokemon. And they already did a great job of putting them in every corner of the screen, so me asking for more is really upsetting. Like, that's just me being selfish.
Yeah, but they did focus on certain ones, like Greninja is in there a lot, for example. And Aipom is in there a lot, right? They could have, there's a ton of variety, you know, we could probably go through and not even remember every single one that's in the movie.
Right.
But again, like, are you going to put 700 different Pokemon in your movie? Probably not. That's just not realistic.
Yeah, I felt like they really just, the Pokemon that were there only were really there because they had a good reason for them to be there.
Yeah.
I was really impressed by, because, and I somebody went through and like did a rough count of like, oh, well, I saw this Pokemon and this Pokemon, and they did like percentages, and only like 40% of them are from Gen 1, so they still get like that nostalgia hit without leaning way too hard on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you see ones that people who haven't played the games in like 20 years or so are just like, yeah, this is cool. I haven't seen this one. This is kind of neat. And you get that cool thing.
It's almost like you get to explore for them.
Right.
Right. Like in the game. Because, I mean, yeah, I know Pikachu and I know Bulbasaur, but I don't know the third, fourth and fifth gen Pokemon that well. I just don't,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like Greninja, I know Greninja, but I never really thought about what that character's design really is, and that's actually its tongue wrapped around
instead of a scarf. Totally. I know.
Like, so to see that real in HD, like, my brain, like, there was a spark when that happened. I was like, oh,
right, he's a frog. Oh my god.
Just...
in the very beginning, when Justice Smith's character is on the train and the Lickitung comes up, as soon as I saw that, I was like, no, please don't do that.
I was just so impressed with like the level of deep cuts in it.
I think
like there's definitely a lot here for this movie for anybody. Like if you just have a kid who just wants to go see a fun movie, absolutely totally worth it. Or if you just want a fun movie in general, you know, you don't have to be a kid. But like as a diehard Pokemon fan, like that scene on the train where they show off like here's Rhyme City and here's Pokemon battles, where it's like showing off the world and kind of doing the big exposition dump that mm-hmm. a lot of stuff does. I was really impressed by the fact that, like, that trainer who walked out in that stadium was wearing the clothes that Red wore from Red and Blue,
mm-hmm.
and he looks about, like, 33, and he was 10 in that game, and Pokemon's about 23 years old.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. What?
Yeah, that's, I didn't catch that. Yeah. That's really cool.
It's really cool.
I think I was distracted by just how disgusting Lickitung was.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Fair. That's totally fair.
So gross.
I was like, oh, he's actually going to do it.
So the entire plot revolves around Justice Smith's character's dad going missing. He's a cop, and everybody thinks he's dead.
The best damn detective this world has ever seen.
Wow.
And that was the vibe they were going for. Right,
you know? They were, yeah. Harry Goodman, yeah. That's his name, and Tim Goodman.
If I have any complaints, it's the name. Don't name your antagonist or your protagonist Goodman. Don't do it.
Yeah, that's lazy. that's real lazy.
There's one Goodman. It's John, and that's it.
No other Goodmans are allowed. But yeah, so he goes missing, and Tim Goodman hasn't seen his dad in a really long time, so he kind of just goes to clean up his apartment, and then this mystery unfolds with this talking Pikachu.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot happens pretty early on. Like, they introduce Mewtwo much earlier than I ever thought they were going to.
It's like the opening scene, isn't it? Like,
pretty early on.
I think so, yeah.
Because, I mean, they frame it all up like Mewtwo's the one who killed...
Right.
Who killed Harry, right? Like, that's pretty on point the way
or at least caused the accident, you know?
Right. Yeah. But I mean, that explosion looks pretty purposeful.
Yeah,
it does.
Regardless.
That was premeditated as hell.
Right. But I mean, Mewtwo looked pretty good, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
Not an easy Pokemon to pull off because it's kind of an odd part of the universe anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I thought it was kind of a big risk to bother focusing on Mewtwo. You know, because Mewtwo's the science experiment. Mewtwo isn't a normal Pokemon. And yeah. So to start your live action Pokemon universe with Mewtwo was kind of risky.
Yeah.
Well, they touch on like the three big tragedies of Gen 1. Like Mewtwo is obviously a genetic experiment and hates a lot of humanity because of it. And then Cubone, of course, wearing skull of his mom. And Tim Goodman just calls that out.
Yeah. His friend is an asshole.
Yeah, right?
Like, I was watching that and I'm like, you're just a dick.
Yeah.
Like, why are you friends with him?
When I first saw Cubone, I was like, are they really gonna do this?
Yeah, totally. Like, yeah, they are. That's what you're opening with. Okay.
That Cubone is very distraught. You leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the battle scene, Charizard is there and Tim Goodman is trying to snuff out his tail. Yeah. If the tail goes out, he dies. Yeah. Like, that's what happened.
That's attempted murder.
Right?
That's attempted murder.
Right.
To be fair, it is a fire breathing flying dragon.
Sure.
That's hopped up on drugs. So, I mean, he didn't want to do that, but I get it.
That was his go-to move. Yeah, like,
I get it.
He didn't try to distract it.
Some would say it's super effective.
I should have prepped sound effects. So this movie had a couple, though, of other really dark moments. So the Charizard one is dark, but it's kind of, you know, in the action sequence, so it's kind of not as
you forgive
heartfelt.
It because you don't realize what's going on until right after. And then you're like, wait, bro, wait.
But then there's the Mr. Mime scene where I wasn't sure if he was going to die or not.
Yeah.
When the fire is lit with the gasoline, because his powers are sometimes really real, like the invisible wall, right?
Yeah.
So if he lights invisible gasoline in an invisible room, like, did they kill him?
I guess we'll never know.
They did just kind of cut and never go back to that.
We don't know what happened to Mr. Mime. Like, that's messed up.
I did think that interrogation scene was really clever, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, that was a really cool way of kind of exploring the fact that Mr. Mime is really weird without just kind of digging into, like, super cheap comedy. Like, I feel like watching the trailer, I was like, oh, Mr. Mime's just, that's going to be really annoying and I'm going to hate it.
Yeah.
But just like that part I thought was really smart and clever. And like Tim, right, main character?
Yeah.
He picked up on, oh, okay, I know what's going on. And then it was really entertaining to just watch him like interact with that and also like hit his head on the wall that wasn't there.
I know a lot of people were really bothered because Mr. Mime's blue pieces are like extensions. They're limbs. They're part of his skin. Mm. They have the same texture. They are not hair, guys. They are not hair like we all hoped it was. And it's not.
I mean, that's a fair point, I guess. I mean,
I just know a lot of people are creeped out by that. You know,
this didn't really bother me. I thought he looked fine.
I didn't notice. I'm not on that board. I'm speaking for Twitter.
There was a fun story going around recently where the producers of this movie were reaching. They were like obviously in close contact with the Pokemon company, and they reached out and they're just like, "So what is Mr. Mime exactly?" And they just replied with, "We have no idea," which checks out.
Well, because when you think about when these were originally made, you know, yeah, they made 151 of them, and they were mainly designed to be in super low 8-bit graphics with no color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure, there were color sketches and drawings and stuff for references, but
because they did release compendium books and things like that.
And the cards, of course.
Yes.
But like these characters, the Pokemon were not really conceived three-dimensionally until Pokemon Stadium, maybe, on the 64?
I think so, yeah, actually. That was like the first, like the big appeal of that game was,
right?
Oh, you can like show your Pokemon and fight them in 3D on your TV.
Yeah. Even then, like the debate of whether or not Jigglypuff was, you know, round and smooth like Jell-O, mm-hmm. or
like Kirby.
Yeah.
I always thought that Jigglypuff was like Kirby.
Same, yeah.
Kirby just didn't have a good voice. Gave up on the singing career.
He just eats a lot.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's got like the little, Jigglypuff's got like the little hair curl thing, you know, in this movie and stuff. I thought we were going to get more of Jigglypuff singing based on it being in the trailer. I was a little disappointed that we didn't get more of that. I gotta be honest.
I agree. I was really hoping he was gonna be like this lounge singer. Nope. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm totally with you guys. just that little, like, brief moment of where you just see Jigglypuff singing, and that dude's just passed the fuck out on that table. Absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, he's just
I definitely laughed at that. I thought that was a nice little nod.
I was a little mad he didn't draw on him.
No, same.
Like, come on, man. Like, that's your thing.
That's a good point. Maybe while he's working, he doesn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
He's a professional.
Now, one of the few problems I have with the movie, because really overall I really liked it, is the drug, the serum R. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really minor. Why, they called it R, and I kept thinking that meant Team Rocket was involved.
Right.
And since they weren't, like, just pick a different letter.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me.
Well, they never explained what the R stood for. And in my head, like, I work in medicine, so I know a few R drugs, and the worst one out there is, like, Rohypnol, and I'm like, well, they're not roofing people. Yeah. Like, why are you doing this? Like,
it was an odd choice, because that's why, like, I assume...
Or maybe, like, rabies, because rabies makes people aggressive.
I think I read somewhere someone's like, oh, it means rage or something like that. Who knows?
Like, 28 days later?
Yeah, like that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. If that's the reason, it's fine. It's just Team Rocket is so ingrained in the universe that, if they're not going to be in the movie at all, maybe you should just stick with a different letter.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, that. If you want to make a reference to them in some way, maybe don't make it the main, like, bad guy plot device. You know?
Well, that's why, like, I don't even think they thought that. I think I tried to make that connection, and wasn't one.
That's fair. And I saw the R, and I didn't make that connection. And then after that, I'm like, no, I totally could see how people would make that connection.
Let's see what else. So we have, of course, we have our little reporter friend person. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember her name.
Poor little blonde girl who talks really fast and quippy.
Right.
She's very
Misty.
Quippy.
Yeah.
The not Misty. I don't remember his name was Tim. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
I couldn't remember his name either. I remember Harry because Pikachu keeps saying it over and over again. So she's kind of interesting because she seems to only exist to give Tim information.
Yeah.
And to do things Tim won't do, like to wire cut a fence. Like, he's not gonna do that. So she has to be there.
Which was a little weird for me because it felt like they made their lead character someone who couldn't accomplish the film.
Yeah.
So they had to create an assistant.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it felt.
I think that works out because we're used to seeing Pokemon anime in groups. It's really only the games when you're very much alone. And even then you meet up with people and you have people help you because they have different abilities. Like, it's not in Tim's nature to do that. So a character whose nature is very bold and outgoing, they're to compliment him. That's all.
Yeah, it just they were so reluctant. Or, you know, and he's so reluctant in the movie. I think that for me got a little.
He just always felt things in his jellies.
God. All right.
If that's not the best catchphrase, I don't know what is, man.
So let's use that for a minute, and let's talk about Pikachu.
Right.
So Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
It's Pikachu.
I liked it.
Yeah,
personally.
Me too.
Ended up working out.
Yeah, no, I was a little concerned.
Yes.
He was just going to, like, ham it up too much, but I thought it was, like, relatively grounded. I still have not gotten over the fact that Pikachu in the movie says, "Get me the hell out of here."
Right.
But no, I think he was a really good choice. Like, looking back, I'm like, man, this casting's really weird. And mm-hmm. there was also that running joke of Danny DeVito being Detective Pikachu. And in that game, also, like, it's a very, like, kind of low, gruff, like, grizzled detective voice. This is Ryan Reynolds. But no, I thought it was great. I thought his jokes definitely landed. I thought even the more dramatic, like, serious emotional points, I think he did a really great job. Mm-hmm. The bit where he is, like, walking away from everyone being super sad and screaming sadly the lyrics to the opening theme of the first series was fucking incredible.
Yes,
so
good.
Oh my god. I even in films like this, I remember Ryan Reynolds from, you know, Van Wilder and Deadpool and some of his more hilarious roles. I forget he's a really good dramatic actor.
Totally.
And he played the emotions when they needed to be. But he has a funny story about how when he was hired, he tried to do a voice. He tried to, like, make it really high and squeaky. And they were like, no, We just want you to talk.
just like, what are you doing?
We hired you for that, and we need that.
I'd like to hear clips of the voice he tried out. How did you guys feel about that kind of twist-ish ending? It's a very twisty ending.
I thought that it was foreshadowed pretty well compared to like just some other twist endings that are completely out of nowhere. But it, I don't know, between talking about the genetically engineered Ditto and who could turn into humans instead of just other Pokemon. Yes, it was.
Fucked up.
I never want to see a beady-eyed human again.
It was like, cool. I'm happy they did it. Please don't do it again.
Yes.
I will say they did it in such a way I didn't see it. I didn't see that coming.
Same here. Like, you know? I thought they were, whenever they showed off the Ditto earlier, I'm like, oh, cool, Ditto are here. That's a neat thing. And then, like, oh, yeah, all of the Ditto clones are just wearing fucking really dark sunglasses.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
I think it's because, like, there was so much eye candy and little Pokemon references everywhere that, yeah, I just took it as, oh, cool, look, yeah, they got a Ditto in there.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I think they were probably expecting people to do that.
Yeah. It was really smart.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, because I just didn't remotely see that coming at all. Like, even, like, the woman, she doesn't talk or anything like that. And I still didn't think anything of it. I thought I was waiting for some big fight scene for her to come up.
Well, know? A lot of, like, Team Rocket and Team Skull and Team Hydro, like, they all have henchmen that never talk.
Right.
So
right,
yeah. That's kind of in line with the stuff that we've seen.
It was messed up. That's going to haunt me for a while.
So basically, just so you know, spoil the twist, Mewtwo did not cause the crash. Greninjas did. Overpowered Greninjas. Mewtwo rescued Harry. His body was hurt, and he decided he was going to heal him, so he put his consciousness in his Pikachu. After his Pikachu consented, Mewtwo said that. So, good on him. And that is why that Pikachu can talk, but only his kid can hear him. And earlier in the movie, they do say maybe it's genetic. So I thought that was funny.
So I don't want to have a problem with it because I like the movie, but I definitely have a problem with it. It, like,
how dare you?
It raises some questions. So first off, did the body die and
no,
Mewtwo
he was healing
it?
Him right. This entire time.
So then why did he need to move his consciousness?
So that he didn't have to just lay in a coma and, you know, work on the healing. He could actually go and do stuff and figure things out.
Okay.
Yeah, I got nothing for you, man. Like, I'm kind of there with you. Like, I love this movie, but there are some things that are, like, just don't really line up, you know?
Well, so Mewtwo can move the consciousness if Mewtwo wants to. Mewtwo can also merge the entire body inside of the Pokemon, because that's what happens later when Bill Nighy is Mewtwo. The human bodies disappear.
Oh yeah, Bill Nighy is the only one that.
Clothes and all. It's all like Thanos' snap.
Okay, so you know why they did that. You know why? Because you can't have a parade full of like dead bodies just laying on the ground. You know that's why they did that. You can't do that in a PG movie. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that'd be a little fucked up.
So they all just disappear, like, which is so much better.
It doesn't mean it makes any sense, though.
Come on. Come on. You know it was for a storytelling purpose and not for, like, an actual plot, figure this out kind of purpose.
It's just confusing about how Harry was dealt with. Because if Harry's body also disappeared and went into Pikachu, then Mewtwo couldn't heal it. But if Mewtwo can just heal the body, then I don't really know why the consciousness inside of Pikachu had to happen at all. Because he thought that Harry's kid would be a good enough detective to figure this out if his dad was a Pikachu helping him. Like,
maybe.
I don't know.
Sure.
Like, that just...
You're the
know.
Worst.
Mewtwo, Mewtwo seems too smart for all that nonsense. I'm just saying.
I can't just have fun.
I had lots of fun. I really liked it. I would totally watch it again.
Absolute blast. Like, I'm still going through and just, like, reading people's recaps. And, like, there's, like, oh, well, this little touch happened. Like, all of the Pokemon that show off, like, a lot of regular abilities only do 4 different regular abilities. Because each Pokemon can only learn 4 moves.
Right.
That's fucking cool.
That is.
So... question in chat about Meowth. Why can Meowth talk in the cartoons?
Meowth was experimented on by Team Rocket. They say that a few times.
They had an episode where they explained it.
Did they?
I would love to tell you I remember how it went.
Because it's a good question. I never knew the answer to that.
I think it had something to do with Meowth, like, giving up his fighting abilities in order to, like, speak or something like that because of something. It's been a long time since I've watched that show.
Interesting.
It goes with, you know, what Bill Nye's character, Howard Clifford. What a dumb name. Bad names in this one, guys. Yeah. Bad names.
Yeah. Well, they wasted all the name power on the Pikachu, on the Pokemon.
Sure,
So
they didn't have to come up with those. Those already exist.
I know.
Somebody had to come up with them.
I think what nags me is that I really would have liked to have seen more of this.
Experimentation?
No. More...
Is it because the Torterra Garden was so cool?
Let's get to that in just a second. I wanted more Ryan Reynolds Pikachu, and I wanted other Pokemon like that.
To talk?
Right? Where other Pokemon could talk to humans and have, you know, these, like, humanistic voices. And I saw that opening up the universe in a way that never had occurred to me before and thought it would be really fun.
As great as the anime is, of course, Ash and Pikachu have a really special bond and they can talk to each other, of course, but it was fun. It was great to see another Pokemon talk. So, yeah, it was similar to Meowth. And I don't know how they're constantly going to do that. Like,
I don't think they can.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I suppose you could have a thing kind of like Homeward Bound where the Pokemon can talk to each other, the humans can talk to each other, but they can't understand each other.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that movie's going to be real sad.
So
it's going to be real sad. I'm not ready for that. I already saw Bye Bye Butterfree once. I can't do it again.
Nope.
The garden. What's the Pokemon?
Torterra.
Torterra Garden?
Yeah.
So that's a super fun scene.
That was great.
That was terrifying.
Yes, absolutely.
I thought it was super cool. I thought the graphics were great. It looked really good. Like, yeah, they had a good budget for this movie, but they used it well, I think.
I think so, too.
There was only a few issues that I saw in the CGI, but it was small. It was like when Justice Smith was like grabbing something or, you know, very, very small, but everything was rendered so beautifully. And so like the Torterra Garden is part of this experimentation science lab kind of thing. And Bill Nye's character has been funding these scientists to genetically modify these Pokemon. And the Torterras are the victims of accelerated growth to see just how big they could get. And they were the size of like a small land mass, like one of those islands that pops up after a lot of volcanic action. Like this is... They were huge. They could have been like the size of four or five houses, you know, maybe like two or three blocks even. Yeah, like
absolutely massive.
Yeah.
It was really cool. I the only graphical issue I think I saw was there's a scene where Tim he's taking the hat and putting it on Pikachu's head, and I don't think the hat was real at all.
Yeah. Mm,
and so it looked like he wasn't actually grabbing anything, right? Because they just superimposed it in his hand. That was the only time I really noticed
that
anything.
That seems silly. Those are, you know, $10.99 on Amazon. They could have just picked up one of those hats and covered it in green tape and been fine.
Well, I think probably the issue they probably had is I'd like to see what the behind the scenes looks like and see like when he's talking to Pikachu, what is he talking to? Right?
Yeah.
Right. Because my theory is that there's literally nothing there. And so he couldn't put the hat on anything.
That's fair.
Right. Now, I'm sure there's some ways around that where you put, you know, the tennis ball on a stick and you could have put the hat on the tennis ball or something. Sure. I don't know. But that was the only scene that stood out to me.
Why wouldn't you just have stuffed Pikachus around? Like, there's so many.
Millions of those things, yeah.
And tons of different sizes and positions. Like, they could have bought a few just so he could, like, interact with it a few times.
Maybe he practiced with those. But you don't want to film with those, though, because getting those out in post would be more difficult.
That's fair, yeah.
So they might have practiced with it. That's very possible. That'd be a good idea.
I thought the underground fight ring was like one of the coolest looking parts of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Loudred beatboxing as like the speakers for
the
DJ.
Oh my gosh,
so
that
cool.
Was intense.
So cool. And just like the whole like underground fight ring, like I thought that the very few like Pokemon battles we saw in this movie looked fucking incredible, and mm-hmm. I really wish we had more of them.
The Gyarados evolution was cool. A lot of fun.
That was really
Blastoise
cool.
and Gengar was just sick. Super neat.
Oh my god, I was freaking out.
Yeah. Yep. That was a really cool thing. I liked that this movie tried to acknowledge a problem that we've all kind of talked about over the last few years, which is that like catching Pokemon and forcing them to battle is kind of messed up.
A little messed up, yeah.
And this handled it really well, and it made it like this underground, like it's like, you know, like a dog fighting ring. Like that's what the bad people do.
In Rhyme City, you're not supposed to do it.
Yeah, I like that.
That was kind of a cool thing. And I also like that they were also super upfront about just like, yeah, they just faint. It's fine. They're fine. Don't worry. They're fine. I know we just threw a meteor at him, but he's fine.
Totally fine.
Built for this.
Right. But, like, you see, like, in that fight, spoilers, the Blastoise loses. And, like, he just, like, falls over, but you can, like, still, like, see him breathing. Like, mm-hmm. he's just, like, essentially knocked out, which I thought was
very important.
Smart. Yeah.
The whole premise is Rhyme City, everybody has a Pokemon partner that mm-hmm. they walk and talk. Like, they don't stay in their ball. Mm-hmm. You've just got one, and it's your buddy. And it makes sense. You know, the police officers have R-K-9s because Officer Jenny had R-K-9s. And the firemen have Squirtles and War Turtles, and that's adorable. And like,
that's very useful for their...
Oh, 100%.
Right? Like, makes sense.
Not only are they not in Pokeballs, Rhyme City doesn't allow Pokeballs mm-hmm. at all, which, like, that's pretty cool. Like, I want that world to be the Pokemon world.
Well, we want that now. We want to be able to take our dog everywhere. And it's just not possible.
It was pretty cool. The city was really neat. It looked really good. Yeah. I'm not sure if they modeled it off of a real city or not, mm-hmm. but, you know, it was just, it felt real. It felt like a downtown urban area.
Mm-hmm.
The parade was really funny because, you know, you've got giant balloons of Pokemon, which we have actually in the real world.
Like, we've seen those at Macy's.
Pikachu one on the Macy's parade.
I thought that was great. You know, you have the shot, of course, it's in the trailer, Mewtwo blowing up the Pikachu balloon, but it's still a cool shot.
Yeah.
You know,
like there was a lot of the cool moments in this movie were definitely in the trailer, but I thought that a lot of really cool stuff was not. And also it lacked like some of the like emotion behind it for like some of those scenes, like that Mewtwo scene, like there's some shit has gone down during that fight, which I thought was just like added just a little bit more to it, which I thought was really cool.
As I think about it, I'm starting to notice more and more things, right? So Bill Nye's character kept talking about how like he needed to like evolve himself and all those types of things, and then when we're introduced to him, he's you know, he's in a wheelchair and he's still kind of sick and things like
that. He has a degenerative disease that he's had for at least 30-40 years between the PSA video we saw and his current state.
So now that like I'm thinking about it, I should have caught the twist so much earlier than I actually
did. I caught it earlier.
There's plenty of things you don't catch.
I didn't catch
just
it.
Listen
at
to
all.
The show.
I didn't catch it at all. So like I was just like, he's the bad guy?
I caught the Totara Garden earlier.
You did. Yeah, so. You did.
I felt real stupid for not catching that. Just like, oh, yeah, no, yeah, that makes total sense.
As soon as they ran out through it and it was just open to outside, I'm like, oh, okay, that's where the big ones are. Yeah. It's just a matter of time. But, yeah, I mean, what other parts of the film should we touch on?
Well, Midnight Pearl asked us what Pokemon would lawyers have. And based on the fact that we saw a desk job, a detective, and he had a Snubbull, mm-hmm. I would imagine they would have small Pokemon that could stay in their offices, potentially help with things like maybe a Froakie to lick envelopes or something,
that'd be
you know, something with thumbs to deal with papers and pages.
I don't know, like an Abra, you know, a Kadabra, those would be really useful in that type of setting.
Probably. Hypno, or no, I bet Hypno works with psychologists.
Yeah.
That one's pretty spot on.
Yeah. But I would go with like an Abra, Kadabra. Yeah. You know, that'd be pretty
maybe
cool.
Maybe not Abra, because like all he just does is sleep and
run. Right.
Yeah, he's kind of useless.
But Kadabra would be useful.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Though. That's
kind of interesting. Midnight Pearl did follow up with probably the one that holds a spoon.
Oh, that's Kadabra. Yeah, that's Kadabra.
Makes sense.
Yeah. That's a good question, though. It is kind of cool to think about that, like, maybe they're paired based on their job.
Right.
Which then, of course, begs the question about why the reporter had a Psyduck.
Well, it also said, like, how young do you get your Pokemon partner? Mm-hmm. If the two of you, like, grow up together, or is it, like, a pet? Where they have a slightly shorter lifespan, so when they pass, you just get another one? Mm-hmm. Or, like...
It's a good question.
And they touched on a little bit earlier in the movie whenever Tim was trying to catch the Cubone against Tim and the Cubone's will. his friend touches on, like, the Pokemon has to choose you, too. So I don't know if that's, like, very similar. Like, you just kind of, like, run into this
shelter
animal, you know? Or, like, yeah, like a shelter. And you, like, find this, like, baby Psyduck, which would be adorable. And
if it,
like,
didn't explode on
right.
It does paint a better picture, the idea that the Pokemon also wants to be caught with you, right? I mean, I feel like maybe that's just a way to make it sound better because they wrote this for a little video game a long time ago.
And I mean, the games also, like, especially more lately, have really gotten into the idea of just, like, you are going on this adventure with your Pokemon. Mm-hmm. They're like your friends. You're forming these experiences and bonds with them and, like, having a good time. It's, like, mutually beneficial. You're not, like, essentially dogfighting, you know?
Right.
Well, it's like the Let's Go games, Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. You can actually have the Pokemon in your party out of their Pokeball, and they'll follow you around. And
it was great.
It's awesome.
I loved it so much.
Like, I mean, it's not always practical, but, like, you can ride your Onix if you have an Onix, and Pidgey follows you, you know, flying around. Like, Pikachu's on your shoulder. Like, it's super cool. I thought that was a nice touch that I hope they bring into Sword and Shield when those come out. But
I didn't see it in the trailer.
I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of a short trailer so far. We don't know.
Hopefully, please.
It's a cool mechanic, but I can understand that being, like, the last thing that they implement. So.
Sure. They have a whole other game to make, you know?
Right.
So do you guys think that the success of this film will lead to more live action / CGI Pokemon movies?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And me too.
I will be there for every single one of them.
Do you hope that they'll connect? Or do you want separate stories?
I saw, like, a couple of articles going around today of, like, some rumors of, like, Legendary Exploring doing a retelling of the Red and Blue games.
Neat.
Which I'd be 100% into.
Yeah, that'd
and also
be
like
fun.
Maybe a Detective Pikachu sequel, and also, like, some sort of, like, Mewtwo origin story. So I mean, if they want to build a Pokemon cinematic universe, sign me the hell up. Like, I'm
100%
in.
I think I'd be in with that. And I think it would actually be successful, whereas some of the other, like, universes haven't really been like that.
And I think also, like, if it's not successful, that's totally not the end of the world for them. Because, like, Pokemon is actually the biggest and most successful media franchise in the world.
Yeah.
Bar none.
I'd like them to kind of connect the way Star Trek does, where, like, each show is its standalone show with its own characters and its own mission, but they exist together. You know? And if you want to have somebody cross over once in a blue moon, you can.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like what the games do. They're all in different regions and, you know, it's still the same world though.
Well, that's what Detective Pikachu did. It references the events from Pokemon, the movie, and from 2000 and that's it. You don't need any more than
that. Yeah, they're just like, this Mewtwo was made 20 years ago. I'm like, oh, I remember that.
Right? Yeah. Like, in the Kanto region. Like, oh my God, that's real. It happened, you know, like, that's all I need. I don't need it to be like just everything connected. It doesn't have to be like MCU Infinity Saga stuff,
right?
You know, but the fact that they exist together, and maybe, you know, a different city has a very different philosophy on how to handle Pokemon, and maybe someone offhandedly remarks about how Rhyme City is better or worse, you know, for some reason we saw in the movie,
right?
Like, that's all you really need, you know. That way you can have your own characters, tell your own stories. You're not backed into a corner by, quote, canon.
Right.
You know.
So, who's your favorite starter?
So, I have actually been kind of, like, really trying to think about this the entire time.
I appreciate that.
I've always been partial to the fire starters.
Same here.
I like them a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of stuck between three, and I don't think I can, like, find any sort of strength in my heart to pick between them.
All right,
I like them all for different reasons.
Give them all three.
My boy Charmander,
of course,
because I love Charizard a whole lot.
He's
my boy. I love him. Cyndaquil is great and adorable.
Yes.
And Litten is great, and I think Incineroar is also great. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So this is always hard for me.
You usually favor water types. Just no.
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 Okay.
Talk, everyone.
That's how our conversations go in real life, by the way.
I tend to favor fire Pokemon as well, just because, you know, it's cool abilities. Like, one of my favorite Pokemon from the original first gen is Charmeleon.
Sure.
I always
you really like the weird teenage awkward stage.
But not for all of, like, I don't like War Turtle.
Oh.
For example.
Looks like an old man.
Yeah. Right?
I always thought they were like little clouds, like he was Hermes or something.
I think that's what they actually are. But he just looks like an old man.
I don't know that I have like a hard and fast rule. So it's always hard for me to pick a favorite because, like, it's not really Charmander because I prefer the middle evolution to the starter, you know, kind of thing. And I feel like Pikachu's kind of maybe a little bit of a cop out answer.
Because everybody loves Pikachu. If you hate Pikachu, you're not a Pokemon fan.
But like
I don't.
Yellow That's was fair. My favorite of the original three games. I just I really loved Yellow.
It's real good.
I don't know to this day how I did it. I somehow beat the eighth gym leader with only having two badges. I must have made a mistake somewhere and found a glitch. I didn't.
Those games were broken as hell. So
yeah.
Right. So like I had no idea what I was doing in that game and played it very weirdly and everything like that. But I think my favorite, though, is probably, I'm just looking through the list again just to make sure I'm not forgetting anybody. I feel like somebody particular that I want here is not actually on this list. So that's really frustrating. But he's a leaf type.
Growlithe?
Yes.
No, Treecko. It's Treecko.
Yeah. Is it Treecko?
Yeah, it's Treecko. Treecko was in the movie.
He was in the movie, yeah.
Yeah, Treecko was so in the movie. Cool. I
didn't know that he could do that. Yeah, and I that.
Didn't expect to see him or Totodile in this movie at all. I'm like, cool.
Adorable.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. Treecko.
Treecko.
Yeah, Treecko, because he was in Omega Ruby.
Yes.
Because I didn't play regular Ruby. I played Omega Ruby, which is really good.
It is good.
Really good. And he was my starter, and I thought he was fantastic. I'd also give an honorable mention to Litten.
Yeah.
Litten's great.
Yeah.
He's real good.
Litten's super cool.
Love him.
Is he lit?
Totally lit. Totally lit.
I apologize.
What about you?
Yeah.
So, again, I have about three to pick from. I also favor fire types, and my favorite fire types were Charmander and Finnegan. I prefer Finnegan to its later. I don't really like the evolutions as much. Like, why do you have a stick? That's horrible.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But in the Alola version, I played a water type. I played Popplio because everybody was making fun of Popplio, and I
never understood the Popplio hate. Popplio's
the circus
cool.
seal.
Yeah. But had great moves.
Yeah.
All three evolutions were kick ass. Like, all three of them had great power sets. So Popplio's up there for me. It's just
that works.
Yeah.
In chat, Midnight Pearl says missing no, which is hilarious. I haven't thought about that in years. So that was the glitch Pokemon in Red and Blue that allowed you to basically get infinite rare candies.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I had like a level 256 Kangaskhan. And everything. I don't know if it was like a reference or intentional, but the like lady who ends up being the Ditto, her name is Miss Norman or Miss No.
Oh,
yeah.
That's funny.
Which I caught that after. I'm like, oh shit.
Nice.
They literally thought of everything.
That's a
like,
deep
I
cut.
That was really cool.
That is super
There's
cool.
There's so many deep cuts in this movie.
So if you guys lived in Rhyme City, who would your partner be?
Those Growlithes were pretty good boys.
They were.
They
right?
were. They were real cute.
They were good.
I mean, it's hard. Like, I guess, I mean, Treecko would be pretty cool to have. You know, it's hard for me not to pick somebody from the original gen. I just know them so much better.
Yeah.
You know, and the idea of ending up with a Charizard would be pretty freaking amazing. Yeah. Like, can you ride a Charizard?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, because
in Pokemon Let's Go,
in the movie, they looked a little bit smaller than I pictured them in my head, and so I thought maybe I don't know.
Yeah,
but
Charizard are like actually canonically only like 6 feet tall.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go.
Okay, in my head they're like these
right.
giant
you just think
dragons,
of them as these massive things,
yeah.
but no, they're like as tall as I am, which is weird, but
that's fair.
Yeah.
So from the movie, definitely a Jigglypuff, but I have always wanted to just be side by side with a Rapidash my whole life. Like,
yeah,
they're
I understand that.
One of my favorite Pokemon of all time. Like, that's I want to cosplay a Rapidash. Like, I just have this image of this little Ponyta, like, sleeping at the end of my bed, and by the time it's completely evolved, it's, like, taken up the bed, and I'm just, like, curled up next to it.
You,
like,
just,
so, like,
you just sold me. Yeah. I'm getting a Rapidash. Like, yeah.
So
headcanon.
If we're picking our Pokemon partners from the movie, can I pick Mewtwo? Is that an option?
I don't like that's cheating.
Think so.
That's like picking Pikachu as your favorite starter.
Of course it is. Yeah.
I don't think he wants to be anybody's partner.
That's fair.
So I know you talked about Rapidash. Do you have a favorite Pokemon?
Just a straight up favorite? Man, I don't know that I do. There's a lot of really cool ones, really fun ones. Machamp was always an early favorite of mine back when I used to collect the cards and all of that.
Ray is cool. A brony. He totally
she totally is. Yeah, Machamp's definitely high up on the list. Alakazam was really high up on my list. And Charizard are probably my top three, at least from the first gen, because I just know them so much better.
How about you?
So I guess if I'm doing top three also, my favorite Pokemon is Chandelure. I love him.
They're
so good. I don't know if you're familiar. He's basically just a chandelier.
Yeah.
It's like a ghost and fire type.
But it's like blue and he's on fire.
It makes more sense than the keychain Pokemon, I'm just saying.
I mean, he's pretty cool, too. I also really like Metagross a whole lot.
And yes.
That whole evolutionary line is just really cool. And, third one's hard. Probably just Charizard. I like Charizard a lot.
Right?
He's super cool. You know, he's the old reliable of Pokemon.
Yes.
Fire-breathing dragon.
Sure.
Can't but, like, do you prefer regular, shiny, or mega?
I gotta be honest. I don't really care for the mega evolution
stuff.
That's
fair.
Just
it's just a new way to draw the Pokemon.
I know.
I think some of them look really cool,
yeah.
But I think the system, like in the games, is just a weird thing.
It's the same with the Z powers,
if they don't have that in the new one, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, right.
Z power is almost worse because the animation takes longer to watch.
Like
every time.
They have to do like this ritual dance ahead of time, and I'm like, I'm good, guys. I'm good.
Skip.
I really like shiny Chandelure a whole lot. Like he's just got like that orange flame and like this kind of like grayscale color. It's really cool. And
yeah. Like the weird like ghost Halloween ones, like Pumpkaboo is one of my favorite.
Cool. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Pokemon's so good, guys.
I didn't really understand shiny until Pokemon Go, because I couldn't tell the difference in the games. I'm kind of colorblind.
Oh, okay.
So for all of the older games, they all looked the same.
I
could not tell that they looked different. Pokemon Go's color scheme is intense enough that I can see it now. And they give you like the little...
they like sparkle a little bit. Yeah.
So like, I can see it now. But I never evolved any shiny Pokemon in any of the handheld games because I didn't know what they were. So I'm just now starting to learn about shiny, like shiny Gyarados and shiny Charizard. Like, that's super cool.
Shiny Charizard's cool.
Right?
It's real cool.
So I'm working on my shiny Gyarados right now in Pokemon Go.
Hell yeah.
All right, we're a little bit over time, just like usual. So before we finish up, of course, we'll wrap with, you know, our rating. So, Derek,
rating. I'd give it an A-. I thought they had a pretty difficult task.
I'm going to just jump on that. Yeah. A- for a kids movie, for a video game movie, is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would definitely also agree with the A-. Like, there were definitely some like issues with this movie for sure, but it was just so magical and like straight up the movie I have wanted since I was like 10 years old.
Yep.
And like they delivered exactly what I wanted and even went a little bit above in like some of those regards.
Yeah, absolutely. It is the first officially certified fresh video game adaptation movie on Rotten Tomatoes, if that matters to you out there, requiring at least 20 reviews. I guess that probably means there's some like super small films people don't know about that are fresh.
Sure.
All right, so we have a slight schedule change for next week.
Okay, so next week was going to be our retro review. However, Children of Men is no longer streaming, so we want to make it accessible so our listeners can watch it. Instead, we are going to be reviewing Snowpiercer with Chris Evans and Tilda Swinton. So check that out. It's currently on Netflix. You can join us and talk about it next week.
It's still part of the Fill Our Holes segment because none of us have seen that one. Mm-hmm. And kind of our rule there is at least two of the three of us could not have seen the movie yet. But we had Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas up as the runner-up. I might pick that one for mine next time because I've seen it. But Ryan and Ray haven't, and that movie is ridiculous. So
I've read the book. Does that count?
Oh, that's interesting. Then yeah. I really need you to watch the movie then. So that'll be us next week. Cam, where can people find you out in the web?
The internet sphere. Yes. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at the Camdy Man. That's T-H-E-K-A-M-D-Y-M-A-N. You can also follow what we do over at Gamer Heroes at Gamer Heroes Pod on Twitter. And pretty much anywhere else fine podcasts are sold, except the show's free. Please listen to my show. Please, please, thank you. That's pretty much it. I'm usually pretty active on Twitter.
Same.
Come hang out. Listen to cool shows.
Right? Please.
Please.
Ray?
I am at Siren Ray on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Mainly a cosplayer, so I do a lot of cosplay stuff. But my podcast stuff is on Twitter all the time, and I love being vocal on Twitter, so talk to me there.
And I am the Star Trek Dude out on Twitter and Facebook. You can also find me on Red Shirts and Runabouts, which is the Star Trek podcast here on the Heroes Podcast Network. Ray will actually be joining me on this coming week's episode, where we're joined by our old guest host, Zach, to review What We Left Behind. So that will be that. And next week we'll be back to review Snowpiercer. So you can find us at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter, at Heroes Podcasts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch, or heroespodcast.com. We are now on Spotify as well. Woo. So please go check that out. And of course, as always, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/heroespodcasts. We revamp things back in April. We've got some new stuff, including a new tier that gets you early listens to this show and Red Shirts and Runabouts. So go check that out. We'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.